We appreciate the Lord taking our place on the cross. I've enjoyed so much this week thinking about and reading about the resurrection and the story of the Lord and reading in different places. And the Lord reminded me that He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. We were in a bind. I was in a bind. I had sinned against the Lord, and I didn't have any way to the Father. There wasn't any hope for me to provide enough of whatever that God would look on me with respect, to forgive me. But the Lord did something that I couldn't do. He made a way for us. And I want to read a little bit about that this morning. And I want to look at His resurrection a little bit this morning. And see what the Lord has done for you and me. In Micah, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse, it says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come with... before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" What am I going to give? What could I do? I offended the Lord, the God of heaven, and there wasn't any way for me. And there's not any way for you except through the Lord. And He made a way. And I want to just think a little bit about that this morning. We're all in a bind without the Lord. We don't have enough. He made everything we have, and so we can't pay Him enough. We can't be smart enough. He made us the way we are. We can't do anything except the Lord has mercy upon us this morning. Shall we give thousands of rams, or shall we give the firstborn of our children? What could we give that could take care of the sin of our soul? What is there that we could do? But you know, this morning, I believe the Lord, He saw our plight, and He sent His Son. And I know we've all heard this story before, but I want to remind us this morning that God sees our plight today. He sees right where we're at. And He sent a way for us to come to the Father. He sent a way for us to be forgiven. And it doesn't cost us anything. It cost us everything. That's not contradictory this morning. The Lord made a way for us today. I want to look at Matthew 26 and 1 and 2. And look at some of the different places where it speaks of the Lord and the things that He said. In 26 and 1 and 2 it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.'" What a way. The Lord He knew simply and plainly, in 2 more days, I'm going to be crucified. And He began to break these things into His disciples to let them know this thing is going to happen. You know, Jesus came on a mission, and His mission was for you and me. He paid the price that we should be paying. He paid the price for our sins. We're in a bind, folks, if we're not forgiven from the Lord. What do we have? How are we going to come before the God of heaven? How are we going to stand before His great majesty when He's there in all of His majesty by the blood of Jesus? Because He shed it for you and me. He said plainly and clearly, "In 2 days, I'm going to be crucified." And so He came with that very plan. They didn't take the Lord and capture Him and tie Him up and murder Him. He gave His life. And He did it because from the very start, He came to this world to give that sacrifice so you and I could be saved. And this morning, I just want to look at a few of those blessed things that our Lord did for us. This is a very special day for us. The time of Easter, the time of the resurrection of the Lord, where He was risen. He arose from the dead. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the things that conquer us. All those things that are more powerful than us, the Lord came and He conquered all those things. And then He rose from the grave. Triumphant. And He had life in Him. And because of that, He brings to you and me eternal life. Because He had life within Himself. He said He had power to lay His life down and power to pick it back up again. That was in the Lord. It was in Him, in His blood that He shed, in the sacrifice He made, in the life that He lived before us, and in the resurrection when He rose from the grave. We see that manifested, the love that He has for you and me. We were truly in a bind. All of us were truly in a bind. Every one of us here has sinned against God that's lived very long at all. I will tell you, those things, we have no power before God. How could we come before the great majesty on high? Because there was one that loved us. He loved us enough to send His Son down to pay that price for us. He sent His Son to stand in our stead. He stood with sinners. He was crucified between two thieves. And they said, we deserve what we are getting. You know what the Lord did? He paid that price with them. He died as a thief. He died as a murderer. He died as one that had done much wickedness and evil, and He had done none. He did it for us. So He could take our penalty this morning. And He didn't do it because He was forced into it. He very simply, amazingly told His disciples, in 2 days, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to do that. He wasn't running. He wasn't trying to guard against that. He was willingly here for that very reason this morning. And I would that God would paint to each one of our hearts a picture of the love of Christ, the love of God that He has for you and me. That He came down to this world because He loved us. All that He went through, His life, His manners, the things that He taught us and left us, He did it for us this morning. And sometimes people get to thinking, I don't know what to do. I've done too much. I want to tell you something this morning. That's what Christ came to pay. He came to pay it off for us. He came so that we could have life. He gave His life so we could have life. But did He die? Did He forever die? Oh, He was the first fruits. We heard in Sunday school. He was the first fruits, the first one, the first bunches, the first fruits that rose from the grave to eternal life. And so He came to do that so you and I could do the same. He was the first of the crop. And so as we take our place one day, we can be with the Lord. We have hopes of that this morning because of what He did. I quoted the verse. I want to read through these right quick in John 10 and 18. It says here, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. The Lord did that. That's what He came for. He never batted an eye. He came. He knew He was going to suffer. He went to Gethsemane and He cried before God. 3 times He said the same thing. God, I need Your help. I don't know all the words He said, but He prayed before the Lord, before His Father, because He knew in this flesh He was paying the price for you and me. He was suffering what sinners suffer. He was suffering what murderers and thieves and wicked people suffer. He was suffering what sinners, those that oppose God, suffer. And yet, He did it just for us this morning. Story of love. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so when the Lord saw our plight, He didn't judge us for it. He judged His Son for it, so we could have life this morning. I want to remind us of that as we go along here. You know, in Mark 8 and 31, another place here, and He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. You know, He knew that He was going to suffer more than just to be crucified. It says here that He began to teach them the Son of Man is going to suffer many things. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be of the chief priests and scribes, and He's going to be killed. And after 3 days, He's going to rise again. So the Lord knew all of this. He had all of this planned for our sake. In Matthew 26 and 21, we see Matthew 26 and 21, it says, "And as they did eat, He said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray Me." You know, the Lord, He knew all of this beforehand, didn't He? And yet, He laid down His life. He said, one of you is going to betray Me. He just matter-of-factly told him, you're going to betray, one of you is going to betray Me. And He knew which one it was. And He was still eating out of the same dish with him. And loving him. Being one, allowing him. And He came and gave the Lord a kiss, didn't He? And the Lord asked Him, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? He betrayed Him. And the Lord suffered those things so we could have life this morning. You know, in John 1 and 14, we're going to move through several things here. And look at some of the things it says about the Lord and about what He did. John 1 and 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the begotten of the as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, the Lord came down, He lived among us, and those eyewitnesses beheld His glory and saw His manner of life and how He lived and what He did. Jesus walked among men, and He had the glory of God upon His life. And then He offered that. It seemed at times to me, how could He, in the middle of His life, at 33 years old, how could He just give up His life? He was doing so much good. But you know, it took that to do good to the whole world. And that includes us this morning. In Ephesians 1 and 19, it says this, Ephesians 1 and 19, we'll start at 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." You know, this morning, the Lord has great power for us. I wanted to read on here. "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, this morning, the Lord has went back and inherited a place that is far above all principality and power and might and dominion. All the powers that be in this world, the Lord has the power over that. You know, it says not only in this world, but he says also in that which is to come. The Lord has done that for us. He's had that kind of power. He came here for you and me. And I want to read another scripture now, because this is why. This is why the Lord came. In John 8 and 34. As we said before, we were in a bind, folks. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You'll be free indeed. You'll really be free if the Son makes you free. You know, this morning, the Lord came to do this. It says he has power, all power in heaven and in earth. He has power over every power here. He has dominion. He has kingship over every power here. He has kingship over the devil. You know, the devil can't do one thing to us except God allows him to. Do you know he is over everything? Not only in this world, but in the world to come. And it says here, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free for sure. You'll be free indeed. Whosoever the Son makes free is free indeed. You know, we're in a bind, folks, if we're not free. We're in a bind because we're bound. Because we have one that we are the servant to. One that ruins. One that steals. One that takes from us. One that takes valuable things from us. One that he goes in and he explores the things that we have, and then he plunders it. And he takes the precious things and the valuable things. We're told about that. In John 10, I believe it is, it tells us that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is that thief? It is the enemy of our life. The enemy of our soul, the enemy of our eternal soul that will live forever. And he is an enemy to us. And it says he cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Christ said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Folks, this morning, I would to God that we would all open our hearts to the Lord and realize that he came dedicated. He came on purpose. He never wavered. He came to save us from ourselves. He came to save us from the devil that would ruin our life. From that one that comes to steal and plunder. He comes to plunder our eternal soul. He comes to plunder that and take it away from us, the hope of eternal life. And he will do that if we'll allow him to. But the Lord, he paid that price for us so that he came to bring life. And he said, if the Son, that one that has all majesty over every power that be, there is no power that he doesn't have power over. And he said, if I make you free, the Son makes you free, you'll be free for sure. You'll be free indeed. You won't be in bondage any longer to that tyrant that steals your peace and that steals your life. And it steals your valuables and those things that God has so faithfully given to us. We thank the Lord this morning that the Lord came to give it back to us today. He came to bring life. Folks, I think the world, I agree with what Matthew said a while ago. It's actually fun to tell people. You see them, you see what the devil has taken, and you want so bad to help them to realize God came to bring life. He came to bring life in the soul. Life is something good. It's something awesome. And the Lord came to bring that for us. And so when we read about the death and the resurrection, all of that was something that God sent His Son to do. And He came here for you and me. And He never wavered. He went right through all of that. He went right to the cross knowing I'm going to suffer. And don't think He wasn't a human in that way. Because He felt those pains. He wept, it says, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because He felt the pain of what He was going through. He felt the weight of the sins of the world. And He paid for that. So we could be free. And now where is He? The right hand of the Father with all dominion over all things. Dominion. He has the kingship. He has the power. He has the authority to do what we need in our life. God has that for us today. He bought that. He paid for that. We were lost. Every one of us were in a bind. There isn't one of us here that has a thing to boast of. There isn't one of us here that brought anything to the Lord and said, Lord, I am good and here's my good gifts. Now surely You will accept me. Who had that? I don't know anybody here. I wouldn't have any confidence in it if you raised your hand. Because we don't have that before the Almighty God. But He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, He said. He wants to put something in here that is more abundant. I thought about the song we sang a while ago. And it said, more than a conqueror. Well, you know what a conqueror does? A conqueror goes into battle and he wins. And he takes the plunder home. That's what a conqueror does. And we're told that we can be more than a conqueror. We can take it home. We can be victor, complete. The Lord came to do that. Not because of our power. Not because of our might. But who the Son will set free. Who the Son will touch. Who we will allow Him to touch. He will do. And we'll be free for sure. We'll be free indeed. We'll be free. And the Lord wants to give that to us today. Just want to bring us that good news. What He said about fun to tell people, I agree. There's hardly a thing more enjoyable than telling a thirsty soul about the good things that God has to do for them. Because I have found Him. I have seen Him and known Him to be that way. He will make us free. He will bless our souls and our lives in this life. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 13, it says here, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain, is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Do we see the connection between His raising from the dead and our deliverance from sins? That's only by the power of the Master, who is master over all, who has the dominion, the power, the authority over all. And I urge all of us this morning to struggle for that. Come before the Lord until He makes us free, until He gives us that thing this morning that we so desire. I've been reveling all week, or through the week, and just enjoying these scriptures over in Matthew, the 28th chapter, where the Lord, though they had killed Him, listen to what happens here in 28 and 1. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. What day is that? That's Sunday, isn't it? Isn't that what we are enjoying today? We met out for a little sunrise service this morning. We sat around and talked and read scriptures and talked about what God had done and the things connected with that. And it was a real blessing. But it says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Now Jesus here, this was time for him to rise. That grave wasn't able to keep him, was it? And so here there was a great earthquake. And here they had, if you read just a little before, they had commanded that there had been said, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Those enemies of Jesus heard very clearly. They heard him say, I'm going to rise again, didn't they? And so they were afraid. If he disappears, they're going to say he's risen from the dead. And then we're really going to be in trouble. But you know, this morning, he did rise, didn't he? And it says here that there was a great earthquake. And here all these people were, I don't know how many people was guarding that tomb. I don't remember, or have, maybe I haven't studied that. But it says that for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. But, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. You know, it's ironic that the Lord told these women to give the first message of the gospel. He said, you go and tell them he's risen. That's what we're telling us today. That was the first thing. God has worked in a marvelous way in the new dispensation. And we want to thank him for that. I want to read just a little more. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. It says here, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so this morning it tells us that he was seen of over 500 brethren. And you know, the Lord did that. It wasn't complete. Paul tells us if he didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins. But you know, the Lord went all the way through. He said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up. That was because he had all power in heaven and in earth. And his body was subject to that. The Lord has power this morning for you and me, folks. Sometimes we think it's impossible. I just want to encourage us this morning. I had on my mind all through the week, I was thinking about the resurrection. And I began to think that way. And I sought the Lord. And the Lord gave me these scriptures instead. So I just want to encourage us today that God came, he sent his son on a mission. They didn't take him and bind him up. They didn't go capture him. When it was his time, he told them, 2 days, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be mistreated. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. And now he has that eternal place. I think about the scripture, or the song number 186, I'm redeemed. It says, I'm redeemed. The Lord came to do that. Folks, the Lord came And he did that, and he followed all the way through with that so he could redeem us. I want to read us a little story in a minute that we might get a little clearer glimpse of what he came to do for us. I'm redeemed from the darkness of the night, the night of sin, the night of ungodliness, the night, the devil's night. I'm redeemed from that because that one that has all dominion, all power in heaven and in earth has the power to do that for us. That so thickly enveloped my soul. In my heart there have gleamed rays of wonderful light where the waves of thy glory do roll. Thank the Lord this morning. Verse 2 says, I'm redeemed by thy blood from the power of the grave and the victory I have over death. Oh, that wonderful flood. Oh, I felt its power to save when I plunged in its fathomless depth. You know, this morning, that's the story of the Lord. He came to redeem us back to God. He came after us because we strayed away. And who of us didn't? Every one of us did. We don't have anything to boast of, not a single one. I want to read us a little story that came to me in the night. I got up this morning and looked it up on the internet and printed it off. I don't often read a story, but I'm going to on this one. It's called The Little Boat Twice Owned. Bruce loved the sea and boats. To spend a day at a harbor watching the boats come and go was to him the best treat he could imagine. He lived with his parents in a town located along the shores of a great lake. And his one desire was to have a little boat of his own to sail upon the blue waters. One day his father said, Bruce, why don't you make a boat? I will furnish all the materials and let you work in my workshop. This brought joy to the heart of the lad, and not long after that, he displayed to his father a boat of his own designing and making. I believe he liked it a bit more than he would any other because he made it all himself. What love and dreams he had put into his framework. He had painted it red and blue, and with its white sails it displayed the colors of our flag. It was not a boat large enough to carry people, but it could sail on the lake held by a long cord. One beautiful day down to the lake shore went Bruce. Imagine his joy when he saw the little boat sail proudly away on the blue waves. Of course, he guided it here and there by means of the long cord. All went well for a while. Then clang, clang rang the fire alarm. The fire engine could be heard in the distance. Hurriedly fastening the cord, Bruce was off with the others. It was a big fire. A city block was swept away, and Bruce lingered with many others for a long time. Finally, however, his thoughts returned to his toy. Away he sped to the lakefront, but alas, the little boat was nowhere to be seen. Along the shore he went, straining his eyes for a glimpse of his red, white, and blue boat, but not a trace could he find. For days he stayed near the shore, hoping against hope for his treasure's return. His father suggested buying a new one for him, but Bruce said no. That would not be the one I made. Weeks went by, and then one day a strange thing happened. Walking down the main street of his hometown with his father, Bruce spied in a store a little boat. Oh, Daddy, he cried, there is my boat, my little red, white, and blue boat. Are you sure? His father asked. Oh, yes, I'm sure. See the mark on the front? But, Bruce, there is a price on this boat. It is for sale, his father continued. They entered the store, and Bruce, to his father's amazement, said to the storekeeper, I've come for my boat. Your boat? Questioned the storekeeper. That is not your boat. But I made it, continued Bruce. Then Bruce's father explained to the puzzled storekeeper the story of the little red, white, and blue boat. The storekeeper said he had bought this boat from a fisherman the very night of the big fire. Turning to Bruce, the man said, Laddie, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you have the boat for the price I paid the fisherman. Will that be all right with you? Bruce's beaming face gave the answer. So with his own money, he purchased the little boat he himself had made. Lovingly, Bruce took the little boat in his arms, and as he left the store, his father heard him say, "Little boat, you're really twice mine now. You're mine because I made you, and mine because I bought you." Bruce's father thought of another relationship so like that of Bruce to his little boat. It was the relationship to his Lord and Savior, twice his, first by creation and then purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Every Christian, like the little boat, is not his own, for he has been bought with a price. You know, this morning, that's the way the Lord is thinking of you and I this morning. The scripture says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." This morning, we weren't redeemed by anything that we had. We weren't bought back by any price we could pay. But the Lord came to buy us back because He saw us. He saw us in the storefront. He saw us somewhere where the devil has us on display. And He wanted to buy us back. And so, if we'll let the Lord, He'll pay that price for us today. I want to read one more set of scriptures in Titus 3 and 5 to 8. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." You know, that set of scriptures tells it so plainly. There isn't any good works that we can do to get us out. But by His blood, by His price that He paid for us to God, before God, He shed His blood for us. And what He's calling on us to do is to allow that, to believe on Him, to believe that He's able to take us from where we're at, in the store window that we're at, in the place in life that we're at, wherever the devil has plundered us from, He is able to twice own us. Amen.